Okay. So Jenna, I will go ahead and turn it over to you.
Okay, hi everybody. Thanks for your time today. I just would like to call this meeting to order at 3:03 p.m. This is the Share eResources Committee.
Okay, thanks so much, Jenna. All right. So we'll go ahead and do a roll call. Jenna Dower,
Here.
Lauren Irwin, Alyssa Henkel.
Here.
Okay, Sarah Hill,
Here.
Cami Com, and actually Cami, I don't see her. Okay, Janet McAllister,
I'm here.
Laura Picado,
Here.
and Kyla Waltermeyer.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you guys all for joining us. All right. So the next step is approval of minutes from the September 26th. Wait, am I on the right agenda? I am not on the right agenda. Give me just a moment. I am so sorry. Gotten lost somewhere. Then no wonder it wasn't quite making sense. Pulled up the wrong one. Okay, so approval of minutes from the March 28th, 2022 meeting. Has everybody had a chance to review those?
I move to accept those minutes as presented.
Okay, thank you, Sarah.
I will second.
Okay, thanks, Alyssa. Okay, we are going to do a roll call vote. And so, Jenna Dower,
Yes, I.
Alyssa Henkel,
Yes.
Sarah Hill,
Yes.
Janet McAllister,
Yes.
and Kyla
Yes.
Waltermeyer. Okay, thank you. Okay, so you might have heard, and as I did the roll call, like I said, I was looking at the wrong notes there. We do have some new members that are here that are interested in joining the committee. Unfortunately, I don't see Cami Com. She is from the Germantown Public Library, but she did express interest in joining this committee. And then, of course, we have Laura Picado, with the O'Fallon Public Library. Would someone like to make a motion to have them join this committee?
I'll make a motion to have them join this committee.
Okay.
I
And do I,
second.
Kyla, you second? Okay, and we'll go ahead and do another roll call. Jenna Dower,
Yes.
Alyssa Henkel,
Yes.
Sarah Hill,
Yes.
Janet McAllister,
Yes.
and Kyla
Yes.
Waltermeyer. Okay, thanks everyone. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Danielle Beasley so she can give us the Cloud Library update.
Hi everyone, so nice to meet you. As you may know, I took over for Leslie Zavaduk at the beginning of this fiscal year. So in July is when I officially took on this role. And so for the Cloud Library, there is not a lot of updates. On the back end, the admin side, Cloud Library has been doing updates to their website, which is still in beta testing with no clear deadline of when it'll fully go into effect. They're just kind of slowly rolling stuff out as it goes along. The only big update I have in terms of Cloud Library right now is that they did add a new feature that is a limit on pay-per-use titles. So at the beginning of the fiscal year, Cassie and I sat down and we talked, and we decided that we'd put that limit to about 6 PPU titles that a patron can check out a month. After reviewing it and finding that, we're getting a lot of usage in PPU, we're wondering if it may be beneficial to just go ahead and actually lower that limit to 4 instead of 6, or if the committee has another suggestion. It is, I should note too that patrons cannot tell what is PPU and what is not PPU. Everything essentially looks the same, which I'm going to give a presentation on PPU here in a moment, but that's just to give you a little bit more of a background. So I don't know if anyone has any thoughts on that, but that is what we're considering at the moment, is just going ahead and lowering that PPU limit to 4 instead of 6 titles per month. Does anyone have any suggestions or comments, questions? Yes, Laura.
So I did have a question about that. Mm-hmm. So if once a person's used all their PPU titles, will it just hide those additional PPU titles from them, or will they be able to click on them and then it just won't allow them to download them?
It shows up like they can place a hold on it. So just like any other book, it would just say place a hold on this title instead of just saying borrow immediately. There's no way for them to tell that it was a PPU that's just now not available to them. It is just going to look like any other title in Cloud Library that's, you know, not able to borrow immediately.
All right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Great. Thank you so much, Danielle. Yeah. Okay, and so we are actually going right into another issue with the Cloud Library budget, the PPU and holds. And so Danielle, I'm going to need to make you host as well. So you might be able to share your screen if you want to go ahead and show us where we're at.
Yes, let me get this going here in a second. Hold on a moment. Get this set up. Okay. I'll share my screen here. Okay, I'm going to share this screen first, and then I'm going to get this presentation going. Okay, can you all see this? See the presentation? Do you see my notes on the side? That's okay. I don't mind if you see my notes. That's okay. All right, I'm going to start at the beginning. All right, so Cloud Library, pay-per-use, our current good problem. I lovingly refer to it as our good problem child to have. It is a bit of an issue we've been running into since the beginning of this fiscal year, but again, good problem, but problems nonetheless. So before I start, I just kind of want to give you some background on our current Cloud Library data. So as of today, we have 245 libraries that are enrolled in Cloud Library. This breaks down to 177 public, 60 schools, 7 academics, and then 1 special library. With 2 libraries currently undergoing trials, which makes up 1 public and 1 school. We did just have a school that joined on to Cloud Library. They'll officially start as of October 1st, but they can go ahead and start accessing that if they'd like. So current funds. So before I dive into this, I will say that I just met with Cassie earlier today because it looks like certain adjustments to how those member fees are broken down was not set for this fiscal year. So I've got 2 notes here on the side. So the one is the one on the left is the one I've currently been going off of, which breaks it down to 60% of that member fee goes to collection development. 20% goes to those pay-per-use, and then 20% goes to reserve. When I had looked at the minutes from last meeting, it looks like that should have been adjusted, and it wasn't set up that way for this fiscal year. So we're going to make those adjustments, which no one's going to notice it on their end. It's just kind of on our back end that we have to fix a little bit of those things. So that actually breaks down to 60% of those fees going to collection development, which again totals that $68,523.75, which then itself breaks down into 2 other categories. So we break down Cloud Library membership into a no cart and a cart fund. So what that means is that some libraries choose to have a cart, which means they want to do their own buying for the collection. Libraries that don't want to do that just go into our general no cart fund. And this no cart fund is used to buy multiple copies of titles that have 10 or more holds on them, buy suggestions from patrons, or fill gaps in the collection wherever those gaps may exist. And then those libraries are then responsible with their 60% of their member fees, spending that however they wish. to do so throughout the fiscal year. So that breaks down to about $52,800 in our note cart, which I then divide by 52 weeks in the year to get about $1,000 per week to spend on collection development. And then that $15,723.75 is what is in spread out throughout those members that do have carts, which is now currently at 39 libraries that have their own cart in Cloud Library to do their own purchasing. And then 25% is going to be put towards PPU. Originally, this had been budgeted to about 20%. So you can see that, again, noted on the left, which we're going to make this adjustment to the amount on the right, which is that total of $28,551.56. And this does not completely include what was opted in. We had six libraries go ahead and opt in additional funds, which is great. And we take those opt-in amounts and put them towards PPU. So that is an additional $2,825 to put towards PPU, which created a total of $31,376.56 to spend on PPU potentially this year. And then the reserve fund will just be adjusted slightly. Really, the reserve fund is set up to help cover the Cloud Library platform fee at the beginning of each fiscal year with a little extra in case that rate changes, which we still do not foresee that happening for a while. And even if so, we've got enough cushion in the reserve to go ahead and drop it. We're not gonna see a huge change in that at all. And we're still gonna have a pretty good cushion of wiggle room in case, for whatever reason, that Cloud Library platform fee does increase, which is currently at $25,000 each fiscal year. So I'll pause here for a moment. That's a lot of numbers. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. So the main part of this, what is PPU? So PPU is pay per use titles. So these are, they're instantly available, simultaneous use, no holds necessary titles available in Cloud Library. Currently, we only utilize PPU for audiobook titles. There is a feature we could turn on for ebooks. However, we're not doing that. We're just making it only for audiobooks currently. And as I said before, patrons cannot tell what is a PPU title. There's no distinction on their end, and that is set up purposefully on Cloud Library's part. Again, as I had mentioned, it'll switch. You know, if we for some reason we run out of budget, or they hit their limit, it'll switch from a borrow status to a hold status. So again, no way to tell the difference. If they do place a hold on a PPU title, it will go into what is called the Cloud Library Reserve Fund. So essentially, Cloud Library will hold whatever the cost is for that PPU title in a reserve fund for that patron to check out when the budget is increased or it resets at the beginning of the next month. And then once they check out that item, then we will be charged for whatever the cost of that PPU title is. How we set up our PPU. So we max out the PPU title price at $2.25. The lowest price of a title is 99 cents. And I've seen it various PPU prices upwards of like $10, $11, $12, $15 a checkout for a PPU title. So there's quite a lot of room there, but the bulk I think is around $2.99, but we keep it at $2.25 as our max title price. And again, as we discussed, we limit it currently to six, but I think we're going to go ahead and we're going to adjust that to four to see if it kind of helps with the issue of reaching our budget each month and having to add additional funds to it just to fulfill a lot of those holds that we seem to be getting. Because we do set a spending limit each month. But again, as I'll get into, we've been hitting that. So, all right. So at the beginning of this fiscal year, this is without those new adjustments right before that I had to make right before this meeting. But at the very beginning of the fiscal year, when we were doing that 60%, 20%, and 20%, this is how it broke down. So with the opt-in amount, we had $25,625 to spend on PPU for the entire fiscal year. Divide that out by 12 months. That's about, you know, a little over $2,100 per month to spend on PPU. However, spending limits ended up being about $2,500 for July. And this was due to the fact that when I went to adjust the limit at the beginning of July, it told me it was lower than what was going to be spent or was already spent for that month. So it made it seem like I couldn't adjust that. So we just went ahead and we kept it at the $2,500, which I believe Leslie had set back in June. So we left it at that, and I just made adjustments for the other 11 months of the year, which would have been, you know, $2,102 for those months. So again, in July, we had the $2,500 that we were going to spend on PPU and the $2,102 for the rest of the fiscal year. But on about July 11th, we hit our budget for that month. So it said, it says right there that we spent $2,493.98. That's because some patrons had reserve that they did not end up grabbing. So they didn't borrow those titles. So it just kind of sat in reserve. But since they didn't check that out, we didn't officially get charged for those titles, but Cloud Library still held onto it just in case they were to borrow them in that time frame of July. I did not increase the amount after we hit the budget that month. This is kind of a conversation I had back and forth with Leslie about priorities and trying to decide where we wanted to put them as we move forward with PPU and Cloud Library Collection Development in general. So I decided, why don't I focus on fulfilling a lot of the holds that we have that are 10 or more within Cloud Library and focus the spending on that instead. So again, on July 11th, we ended up reaching that PPU limit, but I went ahead and I would just still focus on grabbing those holds that were over 10 that we owned and that were not available as PPU titles. So fast forward to beginning of August and set our budget. We went ahead and set that ahead of time. It was good to go. We set it at the, you know, 2102 amount. And then August 3rd, we hit that budget. The third of the month, we hit it right away. So I was like, okay, well, clearly this is backlog from the previous month of July. So let's go ahead and let's move some funds around and see if we can just try to get caught up with it. So what I did is I would take that about 1,000 I had per week to spend on general collection development. I took about, I think I started at about 300 of that, moved it over to PPU funds, added that to our spending limit that month, but then a couple days hit it again. I was like, okay, move another 100, hit it again. And it just ended up being a repeated pattern to the point where I was spending about half, about 500 of that 1,000 each week in August to meet that demand for PPU titles. So it was ranking up pretty fast there. And as you can see, we ended up spending almost $4,000 on PPU in the month of August. I do think a lot of it may have been attributed to the backlog of people just placing holds in July.
I lost you, Danielle. Can anyone else hear her?
Mm-mm. Danielle.
Can you hear us, Danielle? I don't think she can hear us
now?
Either.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened. That was weird. Okay. So sorry. Has anyone had any questions? Because clearly I couldn't hear anyone. Okay. Yeah. So the gist of this is we keep hitting our budget. I thought, you know, August was maybe a little bit of a fluke and we could play catch up, but clearly we're still playing a bit of catch up with this. Or it's just very popular and people are using it because, hey, they want stuff that's immediate and they don't want to have to wait, which is totally understandable. So, yes. So this leads us into how has this been trending the last couple years? So if we look back to going January 1st to August 30th, because that's a full, you know, we're not completely through this year yet. We're not even completely through September. So I just decided to cut it off at August 31st. So I said, let's look at January 1st through 31st of the last couple years. Even at the height of the pandemic, PPU activity is still higher this year when compared to that period of time. However, kind of need to consider that, well, maybe at that period of time, focus was and funds were more pulled towards those higher interest, not available as PPU, high demand titles. So it wasn't a main focus back then. Whereas now it's kind of becoming a more focus because it feels like the demand is higher, but it's kind of hard to tell if that's where it's actually at or not. And it's even when compared to last year, as things kind of started to die down a little bit in terms of checkouts of ebooks and audiobooks, we're still higher at the time of August 31st of this year compared to those last 2 years. We're still higher than that amount. So, and then looking August of last year compared to this year, last August we spent about $1,937.73. This year we've spent again almost $4,000. And then comparing September, so all of September, September 1st through the 30th of last year, they spent about $2,300. This year, clearly we're over that again. So this is our growing problem. Great problem because it means it's being utilized, but a problem nonetheless. As we see this sort of increase in spending with PPU. So one of the great things that Cloud Library just added to their holds ratio report within the last couple months is you can now look at holds on PPU titles. You couldn't do that before. This is something that's very new and I'm glad that they added this in because it helps us a bit. So it's important to look where we currently stand on PPU holds since our budget was reached again last Wednesday. So as of this morning, we have a total of 340 holds on 331 PPU titles, which creates a total cost of $557.74 for those PPU titles. And I feel like it's important to note that out of all those titles, we only own about 11 of them, not even full titles. That's 11 holds in general, because some of them have multiple holds on them. If we wanted to buy a copy of each of these titles, minus the ones we already owe, that would cost us $5,494.96 if we were to buy those. So they're available as PPU, which is great. And obviously we would get charged the amount each time someone checks it out. But if we just wanted to buy one copy of each of those titles that a person has on hold, it would cost us quite a bit of money to do so. So that shows us the benefit of PPU, right? It's great because in some ways it is saving us a little bit more money because we don't have to worry about buying copies of those titles. Those funds can be used elsewhere, but that's if we have the budget to do so. It's not having to be moved around a bit. So, and that's just to give some perspective on this. I know it's a lot of data and information to take in. And I feel that there's so much more we could dig into. And I do wish that there was more data we could get that we can't currently get with the reporting in Cloud Library, such as I wish we could go back and look at holds on a monthly basis. You can't. The holds report in Cloud Library is run daily. You can't go back. Like I can't go look what was it yesterday. I can only look the day of that I run it, which is a bit of a bummer. And we also can't see how long someone has been on hold for something. But these are suggestions that I'm going to take to our rep, Chris, and see if there's any way that we could get those kind of numbers anywhere, or if it's something that they can consider adding on to their reporting. So with all this said, I currently see three potential options that we have to do. So one, we just continue to monitor it, you know, for the remainder of this fiscal year and potentially into next September to get a full year's worth of data. At that point, we'd hopefully have enough insight to determine which months are more likely to have higher or lower PPU activity and adjust the funds accordingly. Obviously, this also means in the meantime, we'll have to continue to move funds as we go to try to meet that demand of PPU and not get it so it's backing up so much as we saw that it did with July to August, August to September, so on and so forth. Yeah, again, otherwise we might get backed up in reserves. And then we can really work to try to make a bigger case for libraries to try to opt in whatever they can, additional funds that can go to PPU. You know, because we have to think of it in a perspective that what we're doing is we're taking money that can be used to fulfill and get multiple copies of holds to lower that for the titles that are high demand right now that aren't available as PPU. We're having to take half of that money essentially right now, or even just a small portion of it that could be used towards that and moving it towards PPU just so those holds become available. So it would be nice if, you know, trying to figure out a way to tell libraries like, hey, this is a great service that we're offering and we want to keep doing it. We're hopefully going to keep doing it, but it is also taking away from this aspect of collection development from Cloud Library. So we have to try to find a good balance in that. And that's what we're, you know, could potentially do. And what we want to work towards doing is showing the libraries the you know, the value in helping fund this service. So then those funds that I'm having to take out of collection development can be used towards getting those other holds down for patrons and building up the collection, filling those gaps, so it can be utilized even more. So second option is to redistribute funds. So I have our current breakdown here all the way on the left. Again, it's that 60% collection development, 20% PPU, and 20% reserve. We're going to go ahead and adjust that as it should have been to be 60% collection development, 25% PPU, and 15% reserve. Which before opt-in, that middle updated one brings it to about $2,375 per month before those additional opt-in amounts. So I'll just have to add that in and then divide it up with our current months to see where we stand with that. Because this is divided over 12 months. It's not divided from, you know, October to June. So that's actually what may potentially be a little bit more than that. I got to fiddle around with the numbers and figure that out fully. So, another option would be to change the structure in that we leave reserve funds at 15% of the member fee, maybe drop the collection development fee by 10% and invest even more in PPU, bringing that up to about 30% of the member fee. And you can see the numbers over here on the screen. If you have trouble reading it, it'd be about, before opt-in, it'd be $34,200. That would go towards PPU with about $57,000 going towards collection development spending. This would have an impact though, and I feel it's important to note, it would have an impact on those members that do have their own carts and do their own spending, because that would obviously drop their fee slightly of how much they have to spend in their fiscal year from their member fee on their own, however they want to spend it with collection development. We do have quite a few libraries that end up going over their member fee and they just get billed for whatever additional funds they go over for it. So they might not notice a difference at all because they know how much they're typically going to spend in a year. But those libraries that try to stay within budget, they're going to see and feel a difference, a little bit of a difference. So I do want to make note of that because I feel that is important to bring up to you all. And then my not favored, I really don't want to see us having to do this, at least not this next fiscal year, is the potential consideration of raising the member fees for Cloud Library. Again, I'm not recommending it for this upcoming fiscal year when looking at the fee structure. I'd like to see with the other two options how that ends up working out. I'd like to collect more data, but it potentially might have to lean that way eventually, that's where we go. But again, I consider this kind of a last resort option. Don't want to have to do it unless we kind of have to, if that makes sense. So between options one and two, I think, option one, I think for sure we need to start gathering more data throughout this year, at least through the end of the fiscal year, if not through September of next year. And then something else I'd like your opinion on is maybe another restructuring of the fees and getting some perspective and thoughts on that as well. So thank you. I know it's a lot. Sorry. So sorry. It's a lot of data, a lot of numbers. So, and again, there's so much more I could have included. It's a lot to take in. So please, any questions, any thoughts, any perspectives, I would greatly, greatly appreciate them.
Great. Thank you so much, Danielle. And I just want to take a moment and welcome Cami. Cami, thank you so much. As you were, she was experiencing some technical difficulties. So I'm so glad we were able to get you into the Zoom room. So does anybody have any questions for Danielle about how the Cloud Library, the good problem that we have with Cloud Library? Let's just do a quick maybe straw poll. If you would either want to raise your hand or use your little reaction button down at the bottom to raise a hand. How many of you would like to see us just collect data this next year and continue to transfer money as needed? Is that your preferred option?
Check.
Okay. How about the alternative of reallocating funds from the collection development fund into the PPU fund?
Which one would have the least adverse effect?
So
probably option one.
Probably.
Right now, just to review and keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you got to think too, right now, I'm still having to take about half of that collection development spending each week to fulfill PPU, but we are getting into fall when the activity tends to lower, so we're hoping that those numbers drop off. One of the things we're definitely going to just keep doing is collecting data, especially to try to find those trends and, hey, when is this higher? When is it lower? And try to get those numbers. But it is having an impact on our collection development spending at this moment because we're having to play catch up so much, it feels like, to keep up with the demand or what feels like demand for it. It's hard to tell. There's not a way to get great, great numbers. So Cassie and I are hoping to meet with Chris and maybe we can, figure out a way that we can get some more data that might help us figure out a solution, a better solution. So.
And Danielle, Jace has actually asked, how often are we hitting the budget for collections each month? We're actually pulling that money from collections because we could spend every drop of it plus some probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been going about every Monday into it. Even last week, I think, when I added money in, and it takes a little bit for the system to catch up to it. So I added, I think, like 300 in last week. And then within a couple hours, it's like, boom, like most of this was in reserve. So there's really only like $5, like someone else can come in and grab like a couple of PPU titles. That's what it's been like essentially. Mm-hmm. So
Danielle, with that increase from 20% to 25% for PPU, mm-hmm. I know you didn't really know that was there. So mm-hmm. it's been that 5% increase. You're going to go back and kind of account for that.
Yes.
How much is that in total now that wasn't spent?
I don't know. I'm going to have to run those numbers and see. Because again, that, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, because I think when we ran the numbers earlier today, it would be about $5,700 extra dollars throughout the year. So it's not a lot.
Yeah.
It's not a ton of money. All right. Mm-mm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, Cammie had asked if the least disruptive option would be option one. Do you all, is there a, we didn't have very many people vote on that first straw poll. Do we want to just continue and collect data, or does somebody have a strong opinion that we actually vote to reallocate the funds at this point? Okay, well, I'm not hearing anybody that sounds like option two is your preferred path forward. So it sounds like we'll go ahead and just go with option one, and then we'll bring it back to the next meeting. We'll review again, and from there we can make some additional decisions. In the interim, Danielle and I had actually talked today. We're going to beg for more money. We did the opt-in at the annual agreement time, but we are going to send a very abbreviated version of this presentation about this great problem that we have, but to reduce hold times, specific to reduce hold times. So, you know, we can talk about the different percentages of it going different places, but everybody understands they get that complaint that, oh, I wanted to get that latest and it's 8 months before I can get it. So that's what that money would go to, specifically buying extra copies to reduce those holds of the most popular titles. And so I think that's where we can get some buy-in of that opt-in collection development funds. So, and if everybody, is everybody familiar with the opt-in collection development funds, where the people who have carts were billing above and beyond anything that they spend over their allotted amount? The opt-in was actually Jill Pfeiffer from Fairview Heights. It was her idea. She doesn't have time to do collection development. She'd love to send extra funds in, but she doesn't want to have to do it. And so that's where that came about from, about 3 to 4 years ago. And so we started doing it, and every year it gets a little bit bigger. But I like the idea of just telling people, hey, you want lower hold times, send us more money, without actually having to raise everybody's fees, because we don't want to price anybody out. Mm-hmm. So that's where we're kind of thinking we're going with that. So be on the lookout. Okay, does anybody else have any questions about that?
Hi, this is Jenna. Can everybody hear me okay?
Sure can.
Yes.
Okay. This doesn't really matter at all, but I'm just curious to know, do we know how many of those PPU titles are, like, honestly utilized? Like, people aren't checking them out, checking them right back in. Like, is there a way to see how long the patron has had that title?
No, not okay. That I'm aware of. I haven't come across anything in our reporting that would show us that. It's something worth asking, but I don't know that there's going to be a way for us to see that kind of data. Yeah.
Well, and Jenna, that was intentionally a good question that I had of, you know, how many people are checking out all the sixes, and then the people who haven't even checked out one or two yet aren't getting them because somebody is just going through and checkout. We're really not seeing that. We have a handful of people that'll check out all of the allotted, but most of the time it's just one or two. The majority are just the one checkouts, and so it's just being very heavily used, and not necessarily the super users, which, again, that's great that we have so many people just checking out that one audiobook a month. And it means that it's just a popular collection. People are using our collection. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a great problem to have. Still a problem though.
Yeah. And I think too, when we first met with Chris right when they implemented the PPU limit, we were discussing it with him. He pulled up a report, and while it wasn't the main number of, there were a few patrons who had checked out like 18 PPU titles per month. Yeah, and I get, it could very well be they clicked it, they listened to a few minutes of it, decided they didn't like the narrator, they didn't like the book, whatever it was, and then they just return it. But we're still getting charged for that each time they hit that borrow button. So that's a little bit of the downside of it, especially when it comes to audio, because you might not like the narrator, you might not like the book. And so then you just, you check it, you borrow it for a couple minutes and then you check it back in. So.
But that's really not any different than items we own either.
That's true.
And check out an item that is licensed outright and still have that same experience.
Yes. And that's very true. And also with owning titles too, is that they all have an expiration date because of those publisher restrictions. So some of these titles that we buy, they expire after a year. So then we have to rebuy it, or they expire after 2 years, or they expire after 26 checkouts, and then we have to rebuy it. So, and of course, then that costs more money, especially if it has holds on it. Obviously we want to make sure that we're buying it before it expires. So then those that can just move right back over and patrons don't feel it. So it's both have pros, both have cons. It's really hard to tell. So.
Okay. Great question. Thank you. Okay. So Laura.
Yeah. For those PPU titles that are placed on hold until there's funds available, are those automatically checked out to the patron who placed them on hold, or do they have to go back and click it?
They have to go back and click it.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
I have one more question. Sorry. Is there a limit to the number of PPU holds they can have at one time?
That is a good question. I know that there's a limit.
Just the limit that we have on holds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because we have an overall limit, on holds that people can have, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I wondered if it was different for a PPU title, because that would, obviously, limiting the holds you can place on PPU would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that we've ever had that confirmed, but I'm going to go ahead and ask Chris that just in case, because I'm not sure if that's ever been officially confirmed that it does also go for PPU titles. I would assume it does, but it doesn't hurt to ask at all, just to make sure.
Okay. Now, Laura had actually mentioned that she had saw a demo of a something called Book Chat. Laura, did you want to tell the group about that? Oh.
Sure. Just let me pull up that information real quick. I forgot about this part.
Well, while you pull that up, there is another product I just wanted to mention to the group that in addition to Cloud Library, Biblioteca is also now offering a streaming platform called Biblio Plus, which is ad-free streaming service. And so, Cami, I think you decided to move forward with Biblio Plus. One of the things, it's not necessarily going to be the latest feature films like other streaming platforms, but the great thing about it is very much educational content. I think they just recently added BBC and like Hallmark Christmas movies. So it's very much library oriented. And so it's a neat product. We are not moving forward with incorporating it into our existing platform because, again, we just don't want to price people out. But those that want it can get that secondary app. And so if you're interested in more information, I can put you in contact with Chris Herpers. He'd be happy to give you a demo. Okay. And Laura, were you able to find it?
Okay, so I talked to Bill. His last name is really hard, so I'm just not going to say it. He's with EBSCO, and specifically this product is through, it's part of a new Novelist product. So it is called Book Chat. And what they're doing is it's an online chat service for readers advisory. So, you know, it sounded great to me. What we did was we went in and I asked him for a live demo, because just talking about it didn't give me as much information as I had hoped. Is everybody familiar with Novelist? I guess that would be my first question. So frequently we use Novelist on the staff side to help with readers advisory. And for us, it's actually integrated into our catalog. I don't know if it's for you guys as well, but and that works really really well. It'll give you some recommendations based on whatever title you're looking at. So talking to Bill for this book chat, I thought it would be very similar and kind of quick and fast. Well, it's actually a live product. So you chat with them just like you do kind of like that librarian chat at another library. The issues that I found with it, I'm just going to say right up front, it was slow. It was very slow. You know, when I asked for the live demo, it sounded really great when I initially talked to him. But when I asked for the live demo and I asked the technicians two questions, reader's advisory questions, it took about 5 minutes to get one answer and it took an additional 10 minutes to get a second answer. For us, that's just not, we don't think our patrons would be that patient. You know, it's hard for them to be patient with us face to face, much less in a chat function. So it is something that they're going to be working on increasing their staff and of course their staff training. Right now it's something that would be available from noon to 8, and that is Monday through Saturday. According to Bill, they were going to have, you know, trained librarians using this function and going back and forth with you. So it's an interesting option, let's put it that way. But for us, we're holding off just to wait until the kinks are worked out a little bit better. We want something a little more user-friendly as far as a little more quick, and something that's open hours that are at least equivalent to ours or at least late, well, not necessarily equivalent, but later than ours. Having it be open from 12 to 8, I mean, they could call in here and get an answer pretty quickly versus having the chat function and maybe having to wait such a long time. Can I answer any questions?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Laura. All right. Do we have any other new business? Okay. Old business, and I apologize that it did not, for some reason, did not get on the agenda for this time. So we'll put it under the other of the old business is we do need a chair for this committee. So that's something for you all to think about. But next up, I do have a member concern that was brought to us about the cloud library in the base app for Solus, the mobile library app. We had one of our member libraries that is a Overdrive Consortium member that does not participate in cloud library that say that sometimes it causes confusion for their patrons because it does direct people to the cloud library app. And so we actually saw that in real time that we had a patron download the app and then wanted to get a cloud library ebook. So downloaded cloud library, but they said they couldn't log in. They emailed us, they emailed Rails Access 360. They couldn't figure it out because they were an Overdrive consortia customer. Their library participated in that group. And so I wanted to see, the reason we included it is because there are so many libraries that offer that cloud library product. Do we want to take it out? And so I was going to suggest to the committee, could I send that to members for member comment to see what they would prefer? Danielle, you had a question?
Yeah, just to go along with that patron too. Can you still hear me? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm paranoid now. So that patron actually got back to me that they didn't even have the Overdrive option in the mobile app. They only saw the cloud library, but their library doesn't participate in cloud library. Mm-hmm. So that was something else interesting about that too. And I just wanted to make note about that.
Yeah. And that's because if that library does not have a custom template, they would not see Overdrive. Yeah. So does anybody have a problem with me maybe sending it out for member comment that we can review at our next meeting? Unless anybody has a strong opinion that we should go ahead and remove it.
I don't want it removed. So okay. Please send it to public comment so I can comment.
Okay. And as part of that, Sarah, I will mention for those that do not participate in Cloud Library that they can create a custom template specific for their library and their resources. So I will make note of that. Okay. Okay, so for other new business, again, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I missed getting this on the agenda, and I apologize. We do need a chair for this committee, but it's a very short list of who's eligible because other people are already participating on the executive council. Lauren, Janet, and Kyla. Anybody want to play rock, paper, scissors?
Wait, could you say who that is again?
Of course, Cami and Laura, you also are welcome to join our shared executive council as a chair of this committee. Don't want to put you on the hot seat. It's your first meeting. But Lauren Irwin, Janet McAllister, and Kyla Waltermeyer. Everybody else is either on another committee or is it a library that already has another member that is, so Decatur, I'll point you out, I'll pick on you, already has somebody on the executive council from that member library, and you can only have one representative per library.
So would you mind reviewing again, because I forget between one meeting and the other, what the chair position entails?
Yeah, so it would be kind of like Jenna had done, is starting the meeting. And then the big responsibility is also participating on the Share Executive Council. And so that we meet every other month. And we do have a special meeting in April of each year to review the budget for the Share program. And so instead of looking at just like the e-resources issues, a lot of them overlap, but you'll be getting everything from all of the other committees as well. And so, for example, they're talking about BIB standards having a new refresher training for barcoders, for example, and so that'll go through their committee and then up to executive council. There's also some discussion in the past. We've had a one in-person meeting for the executive council per year. We've not done that in a really long time, of course, because of COVID, but I'm sure that's something that we'll be discussing at our next meeting if we're going to continue that. And then you also represent the share e-resources committee at our annual meeting, and that's usually not in person, that's just a virtual meeting, so we can kind of do a year in review, and so that'll tentatively be in January. I wouldn't expect the new person to necessarily take care of that unless they really wanted to, because that you just haven't had the time to kind of get settled into the chair position.
Well, I'm admittedly not excited about it because I just stepped away from another committee because I needed more time. But if no one else steps up, then I will.
Well, and Kyla, I would really appreciate that. It is a 2-year term, and you do not, because it's a 2-year term and can be repeated for another term. So it's it's at the very most a 4-year term. What the Finance and Policy Committee was kind of in the same boat, is they decided they'd have one person for the 2-year term, take that on, and then it would go to someone else. So they planned to not have that person in the same committee for 4 years. Would somebody like to make a motion for Kyla to take over this position for the, it would have started back in July, so it's not even a full 2-year term, so. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I will make a motion for Kyla to become chair of the Share E-Resources Committee.
Okay.
I second that motion.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. Okay, we will do a roll call vote. Jenna Dower?
Yes.
Alyssa Henkel?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Janet McAllister?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
I guess.
Laura Picado?
Yes.
And Cami Kom?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you, Kyla. I know it's a little bit more of a time commitment, but we do zip through the meetings pretty quickly in general. So thank you very much. Okay, and we're going to plan to not keep Kyla in the hot seat. So everybody just be aware. We'll probably be having this conversation again sooner rather than later. Okay, any other new business? Do we have any other, any public comment? And any announcements? I do have one announcement specific to the Finance and Policy Committee has decided to move forward with Aspen with Bywater Solutions to present that as an option to members with a custom kind of similar to like we did with Solus, that if you want that discovery layer that has all of your e-resources integrated into your pack, it would be $2,500 per library. We'd have to get 25 libraries participating. But they do incorporate EBSCO, and then other products can sometimes be sideloaded in, but they support like Overdrive and Hoopla and all of the things. And so it would be $2,500 for the custom pack. If we get 25, at that point we can consider opening up to everyone, which I really, for a product like this, is definitely the power of the group. And so if we open it up to everyone, we would price it at $250 and take it out for a member vote. So that's something that we are going to present to members to gauge interest. And so they're actually going to be participating on IHLS Member Day. So be on the lookout. We'll be sending out information regarding that. Okay, any questions? Okay, Kyla, new chair of this committee. We usually say the magic words, which are there being no further business, the committee adjourns at.
All right. There being no further business, the committee adjourns at 3:59.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much. It's good to see new faces. Thank you, Danielle, for all of the great information today. I appreciate everybody's participation. Thanks, everyone. Bye.